This is Blake Corum, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier for a big Week 6 fantasy preview show. So pumped to be back here with you guys. Man, we got a bunch of awesome games to get to this week, a bunch of tough decisions. Everybody's in injury purgatory. It's been such a weird year for all that stuff, so we know you're having to scrape the bottom of the barrel for some of these plays. We're going to talk over some of our games and situations, stuff we like for season-long fantasy, stuff that we like for DFS and for player props. First, I want to share with you guys real quick here a pretty cool new feature we have over at Roster Watch, which is the new Hyper Picks. Cody, how do I share this on my screen? I'll be able to pull it up. Let's just go here. So here you have the premium download section where you can download the player prop cheat sheet, where we already have a bunch of props up for this week, hitting at 60.4%. Last year, I think this year we're hitting at 56% so far. So it's been profitable. And here in the premium section, you have the hyper picks, you have the player prop cheat sheet, you have this kind of advanced matchup tool here where you can look at, say, you know, if we wanted to look at Denver and the Jets, you can look at some of the, you know, different betting trends and sort of historical betting trends. You can see how the lines move throughout the course of the week, all the injuries, stuff like that. But one of the coolest things about it on the premium tool side is this new thing that we have. But then here's like this week's game odds. You can see here where like you can pick your state and you can see like, all right, so we're Denver versus the Jets. You have the, you know, on FanDuel, it's Denver -7, BetMGM, it's Denver +7.5. And you can see, you know, 61% of the tickets are on the Broncos, 64% of the money. So it's just an interesting thing to look at here. But the coolest new thing is what our developer put together. It's called Hyper Picks. So what you do is you click this thing and you can go to this here and you can just say, you know, how many props you want it to generate. We've put 8 in so far this week and we put them in throughout the course of the week. And so we always recommend that you take a look there in the player prop cheat sheet to make sure you're getting them good and early, because a lot of these, there's still value in a lot of them, but they're not quite as good as they were. I know that Kyren Williams has gone from 69.5 rushing yards up to now it's like 74.5. So it's always better to get on early in the week. But let's say you want to put together like on Prize Picks, you want to like to put together like something with 4, and you can just go here and it'll tell you, right? It tells you that these are 4 random ones that it just takes from there to pick. I know it's always hard to choose, like, how do I package them together? What do I do? Stuff like that. Well, just click through and, you know, find the combo that you like. And it's as simple as that. So go check it out. You can get it with a premium membership along with all the rest of that stuff over at rosterwatch.com. And whenever you do that, you also get all the pro stuff that you're used to having. It's just, you get that stuff on top. Cody, a bunch to get to today as far as these games. Can we start out by talking about the Rams and the Ravens?
Sure.
Okay, here's my thing with this.
Not where I thought you were going to start, but sure, I'm in.
Because I got a question about this earlier on the site, and I think we're going to get a couple of these. Because we're at a legitimate point now where people are asking questions about guys like Quinshon Judkins, Rashad White, Rico Dowdle this week, and they all guys who they drafted real late or guys who they might have picked up off of waivers. Rico Dowdle, of course, it looks like Chuba Hubbard's not playing. He's in the nut matchup for revenge versus Dallas, right? Rashad White looks like he's going to get the full workload again this week. Quinshon, you got in the eighth, ninth round if you use the cheat sheet. you take Derrick Henry in the second round, people are asking, I mean, people at this point are asking if they have to bench Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think we're looking up. The matchup sucks though this way. I mean, the Rams are one of the best front sevens in all the sport right now. So it's going to be tough. It looks like we're going to get Ronnie Stanley, Roger Rosengarten, and Joe Noteboom in his get back game against the Rams. Get this offensive line a little bit more healthy. Ben Cleveland DNP'd on Thursday with a non-injury, interior offensive lineman. It looks like that offensive line is going to start to get back to health. And we're starting to see more limiteds instead of DNPs as far as his overall roster that saw 25% of its roster on the injury report last week. probably not the week to expect a big boom back from Henry after literally last week playing against Houston, which was historically the spot for Derrick Henry. He's got 4 games over 200 yards, 6 games over 150 against Houston, and he completely, dropped, I was just going to cuss right there, but I didn't do it, Alex. I kept it in the bucket.
There you go. Family program.
But that was the game that Derrick Henry was supposed to get his get back, and he didn't. So, I think you're going to look into the bye this next week, and then after that you're going to get Chicago, Miami. I think that's when you're probably going to get the Derrick Henry stuff back in. So, yeah, I do think you can bench Derrick Henry this week for the likes of a Quinshon Judkins and players alike. I just want to also add in, I talked about this on Monday in the Top 10 Thoughts show. Alex, I didn't realize this until I was looking it up, but this defense for the Baltimore Ravens has given up 7 more points this season through 5 games than the greatest defense the Ravens ever had, 2000, right? The history of the team is only 28 years, and that's 1996. This is the worst defense they've ever had from a yardage and points allowed perspective, and that's just through the first 5 games. And they've already given up more points this year in 5 games than that entire 2000 Super Bowl winning defense gave up in 16 games.
Well, it's easy to see why they're struggling. You've heard all the numbers. If you just watch like the NFL Network, wherever you, I don't even know the exact number, but they're talking like something ridiculous, like $600 million worth of salary cap dedicated over the course of the next however many years that was out last week. It's unworkable. And I think that it's a good spot for Kyren Williams, because I wonder, I've been thinking about I'm about to do the Blitz show that will be available for our pro members on Roster Watch. And I've been thinking about how to put together my cash lineup on DraftKings. And of course, I want to play Puka, but he's so much more expensive than the rest of these guys. And I worry, is Baltimore going to be able to push back enough for Puka and Adams to get home, right? Whereas a script like this would set up for, even if it's a relatively inefficient Kyren Williams, for him, spoiler alert, man, we like the Kyren Williams overs as far as the rushing yards this week. What do you think? Are they going to get enough pushback for Puka and Devontae to have ceiling outcomes?
I don't know about Puka and Devontae. Puka this year so far is just outscoring the field by so much. It's kind of impossible. It's kind of like the Christian McCaffrey thing we've seen the last in past years, where he's just like, he's so far ahead of everybody that no matter what the price is, you still have to pay it. You just have to do it just to put him in the lineup. Averaging almost 27 points, fantasy points per game. Last week, the thing for Houston was Houston got up big, of course, in the first half, 24-3. They end up winning that thing 44-10. The problem with Houston is like, yeah, they got Nico Collins, who had 4 for 52 and a touchdown, which kind of gets you there, but isn't quite what you want out of a Puka, price tag. They also had Christian Kirk, who had 4 for 64, Dalton Schultz, 5 for 60, Jaden Higgins, 4 for 30, Hutchinson had 3 for 18 and 2. Like, they're going to score. The Rams are going to score. They're going to get theirs. I just don't think it's going to be as dispersed as the Houston Texans had last week, getting 10 different players targets. Like, yeah, Jordan Whittington might catch a couple footballs, and Tyler Higbee's been banged up and he hasn't really done much this year. You might get a little T Ferg, but I still think this thing's going to be so consolidated with a near 70% target share through the first month of the season. It's still going to be that way, and I think Puka's going to get there.
One more thing on this one. Just tell me what you think about this, because you mentioned the Ravens getting some of their offensive linemen back. I was noticing on some of the pick'em sites, they have Byron Young, who looks like he's going to be a guy who's – like, people are going to probably start talking about him for Defensive Player of the Year. I think over Verse. I mean, the guys. I think he's he's leading the NFL. He's either leading the NFL in sacks or he's tied for the lead. Basically, he's got at least a half a sack in every game so far this year. And it's and if you look at the Ravens, they have allowed the most sacks of or maybe it was the second most. No, I think it was the most sacks whenever I looked. It was either the most or the second most this season. He has a sack over under or more or less or whatever on Prize Picks underdog and stuff of 0.5. Do you think that that's – I was thinking about putting it on the sheet, but I wasn't – do you think that that's bad with the offensive line coming back? Is that a sucker bet?
No, I don't think it's a bad play. I think, like I said before, you got all three of your tackles have been banged up, and now they're coming back this week. It looks like they got full practices in on Thursday, so they're ramping back up. I don't know what that means as far as – you know, I always just go into the – I've learned in my years of playing fantasy, just like if they play, you got to trust what they are is going to be near that high level. And for the and that's in fantasy. And for the offensive line perspective of that, it's like it's Ronnie Stanley. He's kind of to me took on this vibe of like Marlon Humphrey, where Marlon Humphrey has elite upside, but also has like a floor that just drops through and he can give up 200 yards to Ja'Marr Chase. I've seen the same things kind of out of Ronnie Stanley. He can stand up and shut out TJ Watt, and then he can have a game where he plays against somebody that's lesser known and gives up two sacks. So I wouldn't be against it. I think that this defense is, like I said, it's one of the best front sevens in the sport. You got Jared Verse on the other side that's going to be taking two guys, and Byron Young's, you know, reaping the benefits of that right now. So he had a half sack last week, and that was the least he's had all year. They set it at a half. I'm cool with it. I like it.
And I misspoke earlier about leading the NFL because that's Nick Benito, but he was leading the NFC before Brian Burns played last night, and I believe I know he got at least one sack. Okay, so can we maybe this is another game that you won't expect me to talk about, but I talk about these games based on the questions that we're getting over from our pro members at Roster Watch, whose questions that we answer throughout the week, but mainly on Sunday mornings for the live sit start thread and Cody's live sit start stream, and it involves guys in the Patriots Saints. First of all, no Antonio Gibson the rest of the year. Ramondre Stevenson keeps fumbling. Can we finally trust and feel okay about playing Travion Henderson?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's talk about it.
I'm tired of him. I'm tired of Vrabel. That's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of this. Like, we need to see him, you know, keep growing in the kick return game, and this, like, you know, you got to earn your skins deal. But like, when did the thought of like, yeah, you got to earn your skins, I get that, but also can't you lose skins? Like, isn't there a thing where if you fumbled more than anybody in the sport over the last 2 years, don't you lose some skins on the wall all of a sudden? You'd be like, oh, this guy, you know,
he seems to know. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but you know, it does feel like if Travion were to fumble, he'd be sent to the shadow realm like
immediately.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't get it. The guy didn't fumble once in college. We know he's a good in pass pro, and you say, well, we got to get some more routes for him.
He was getting better at
kick return. It's like, well, first off, the routes he's getting aren't routes. It's like flat work that just like, oh, you're like the sixth option. And then he gets a dump off and he's a foot from out of bounds. He gains 1 yard. You get swindled. He gets swindled. The whole opportunity is screwy. And it's an offense that, you know, last 2 weeks, we talked about this getting our circa picks in last week, is like, they look great against Carolina. We're like, this team could take a big step forward. They do it against Buffalo. Like, you could take another step forward by unleashing Travion Henderson, because he's literally, Vrabel's like, you know, if we had a James Cook, we'd see it. But this is your James Cook, dude. Use him. I don't know.
Vrabel invoked James Cook.
But this was a week ago, right? When he was asked in practice, is like, you know, what do you do to emulate a James Cook? He goes, well, if we had somebody that could emulate James Cook, we'd use me every week. I was like, wait, what? You have Travion Henderson. Like, what are we talking about?
You have one of the elite like prospects, right? Of recent times. I hope Travion doesn't get weight. I just hope he doesn't see it. I hope he doesn't envision him as one day rising to the mantle of being his like Shane Vereen.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Just like that's like as if that's what he's shooting for. You know,
Kenny
like,
Gainwell.
Yeah. And then what about on the Saints side? Just what about So there's a couple of things that I have worries about this
Kendre, week. Man.
I have Alvin Kamara's banged up. People are going to want to wonder about him. Juwan Johnson has new target competition now with Foster Moreau back and with Taysom Hill back. Now, Taysom Hill only played like, what, nine? I don't have the snap counts pulled up. I remember it was like 9, 10, 11 snaps, something like that.
3%.
More quarterback. So it was even less than 9.
Foster was 13% of the routes. Taysom was 3% of the routes. Juwan still ran 81% of the routes last week.
Oh, okay. So it could have still been only like 9 snaps. I can go back and look. And then Chris Olave, Christian Gonzalez has been at practice. And Olave just tilts me endlessly, Cody, because whenever I get to the ranking sheet and I look at it and we put the model in here, the model always tells us, it's like, no, man, look at Olave. He's a top 10 option on the week. Because it's just this thing really looks at expected points.
Mm-hmm.
And he just has the most expected points of anybody, dude, because he's getting almost 11 targets a game. He's running 86% of the routes. He's got a 24% target share, a 37% air yard share. If you look at the fantasy points data, he has a first read percentage of 34%. It's like, and I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong target shares here. 29% target share, 35% air yard share. First read 34% of the time. And just, if you just look at expected points, like he has per game 5 more PPR expected fantasy points than Jackson Smith and Jigba. And so it's like the modeling and looking at all the numbers, you look at, well, how can I not rank this guy high? And it's because we don't score fantasy points for expected fantasy points. And now he gets a tough matchup. I think this, I kind of think this could be a good game for Rashid Shaheed. What do you think? How do you see it playing out? And do you have worries about these Saints?
I mean, it's still a top 5 matchup on the Roster Watch matchup tool for the wide receiver position. It's still a defense that's given up the 9th most fantasy points in the season so far in New England to wide receivers. So
Some of that was from when Gonzalez was hurt, though.
But
the tool takes it into account that he's back. So.
Is he 100% healthy?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, people are every single day. Whenever every single day, the New England
I don't think he's 100%.
If the New England beat feels the necessity every single day to alert us about whether he's practicing in the level at which he's practicing, I would tend to think that they might think that he's limited in some way.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. Is like, I have him. So this is, I go through each week before we do this show and I look at the biggest discrepancies in our rankings and the notable discrepancies inside the top 30. There's very few. Like, there's always going to be guys that are like, ranked between in the 40s and 60s and stuff at running back and wide receiver that we differentiate on. But the biggest differentiator between yourself, Trashman, and I is Chris Olave. And you guys have him at around 2023. I have him at wide receiver 7. And it's not because I like love Olave. It's I'm following like the numbers. I'm following the injury. I'm following Olave. And I just think that that's going to be the direction that it's just going to keep going there. And I think, again, you get your 10, you get your 12, you get your 14 fantasy points. And I think you're going to eventually get your 24 fantasy point game out of Olave. You're going to get that big long touchdown that we know he's capable of having. And as long as he's healthy, I think we got to play him. And as long as he's not concussed, I think you just got to take advantage of having the guy in your roster. And I get all your questions and all your worries about him. I guess I get to the point in the ranking and I guess I look at like guys like Tedrill McMillan I have right behind him. I guess I'm a little bit higher on him than yourself and Trashman are as well. But like I get to like this area and I'm like,
I think it's hard to be higher on Tet than I am this week. I love Tet this week.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long.
And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
I think I read the ranking wrong. You're higher than I am in trash, man. Sorry. But that, like, I get to that area of like Olave and Jalen Waddle and Tetero McMillan, and I feel like best about Olave. Like, I think Waddle has wide receiver one. Yeah. It's like it's Waddle has 30% target share ability. I'd like to see it more. He's got a very tough matchup this week against the Chargers. I just trust the – it's almost like the not the bottleneck, but the I don't know, the floor there where it's like once you get past Olave, I think there's more question mark. And that's where I have like the ranking built. It's like I have him bang, he's here. I'm never going to put him higher. But if I put him lower, then I'm like – I'm betting on one of these other guys to have a week that's better than I expect.
I mean, it's like, but here's the deal with Olave, we have projection models ranking him super high that go into the rankings.
Yeah.
And we have our expected point and the thing we always talk about is the model, which is just like a statistical analytic model. Right. And then, you know, you have him at seven. So, like, overall, we still have him as the highest of the high end wide receiver twos. I mean, we have him ahead of guys that I would not start him over, like Deebo Samuel and Quentin Johnston. You know what I mean? Like,
you would start Quentin Johnston over Chris Olave.
This week I would. It's hard, but I think I would. Chris Olave's been pretty. He's been a little bit disappointing, man. I mean, we're talking about what a PPR. He's averaging 12.2 fantasy points. I mean, we're talking Quentin Johnston is 5 points clear of him.
So bizarre that like the guy that's number two in the league right now in targets per game. it doesn't matter. It's a fact though. It's like he's barely scoring more fantasy points than the targets he's getting.
Now, as far as the game that I think is cool, like, I think there's just a lot of fantasy fireworks possibly to take place in Dallas, Carolina, right? Just because of the matchups for both of these teams. If I look at the matchup tool, Dallas.
What's our line here? Is it like 48?
49 and a half, and it's only a 3-point spread. So both of these teams have like, what's that, a 26 and a 23 point implied team total? Okay. Somewhere in there. We have Carolina here actually is a little bit surprisingly to me here, and the matchup tool will surprise me. It actually doesn't have it as a good matchup for opposing wide receivers, but it has it as a great matchup for opposing tight ends for the Cowboys and just kind of middle of the road for quarterbacks and running backs, which, to be honest, shouldn't matter with the way – I can't believe I'm saying it, but with the way that Dak and Javonte are playing right now, like, they feel like they're matchup-proof, and even a matchup that's middling. It's wild to say, but it's true. Now, with Dallas here, it's the top matchup for opposing quarterbacks, fifth overall matchup for opposing running backs, top matchup for opposing wide receivers, 11th best matchup for opposing tight ends. So it's across the board. I think if you have guys in this game, you should start them. And I think it goes without saying that if you have Rico Dowdle this week with Chuba, who just got announced out as we've been on the show, I believe that was in the thing. Was that the alert that I saw, Cody? Did you see that?
He's out.
Okay. So Rico Dowdle, of course, he's back in. I think that Tetero McMillan
one of the props I love this week that we took earlier that is no longer available, but I still like it where it is. We got Tetteroe McMillan at over 66.5 receiving yards. I think that this is the week also where he finally gets in the end zone. That's a thing that's been, if you have Ted McMillan, that's something that you've been missing, you know, from his scoring profile in fantasy. I think this is where that happens. I'm wondering, Cody, if, you know, it looks like Kyler's probably going to play because he got back to practice on Friday, but we still don't know. It's going to be up in the air a little bit, but we know people are having issues with, having issues with quarterback, Lamar, you know, maybe Kyler. If you're having to stream, Bryce Young's available in a lot of these leagues. It's the number one matchup for opposing quarterbacks. Do you trust him with even how bad he looked last week, especially in that first half? And then what do you think about this game in general, especially on the Dallas Cowboys side where we saw Ryan Flanoy last week be the one that was really I don't know if I call him featured, but I mean, just he looked really good, looked better than Jalen Tolbert. And then why does Jake Ferguson only have a 44.5 over under as far as his receiving yards?
I'll start with this. It's the Bryce Young side. I think Bryce is I thought it was a good stream last week, this week, and next week, kind of a middle section here. If he had a Lamar situation to deal with or anything else or just poor quarterback play, I thought he's been a great stream in the start of October here. As far as Javonte, I mean, he's the third most impressive, the third most exceeding running or player in expected fantasy points right now, next to Puka and Jonathan Taylor, as far as scoring more than his points expected each week. So he's just kind of going to continue to trust where the ball is rolling right now with Javonte Williams, even though we came in with a predetermined thought of what he would be this year because he was.
Oh, wait, I haven't looked at his actual points versus. Are you saying that he's due for regret? He's due for.
No, I'm saying when you look at the leaders in expected fantasy points through 5 weeks is like Christian McCaffrey, Puka Nacua, and stuff like this. But then you go down and it's like as far as guys that are exceeding their expected points per week, exceeding their expected points, it's Jonathan Taylor, it's Javonte Williams and Puka who are exceeding that expected.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. With Javonte, it's
four fantasy points.
We have it at 3.5.
Yeah. So I think you just have to continue to kind of trust and believe in what he is. It's a middling matchup against Carolina, who has started to play a little bit better football lately. The bigger thing I think for me is the Rico Dowdle side, who's, you know, DK is 5,800. And he had a game. This is a weird kind of circle of life here where when he played for Dallas, he had a massive game against Carolina in Carolina. Then last week he has a 200-yard game in Carolina for Carolina. And the following week he's again starting and he's playing against Dallas and it's in Carolina. And I don't know if this is going to be the fish play of the week.
No, dude.
And he's going to lay an egg, or if he's going to have one of those historic things where he comes in and has, you know, back-to-back 200-yard games and we're just like, yo, Rico Dowdle. But it's like last week was kind of built on a couple of big runs. And I'm worried that I wonder what it looks like if he doesn't get a couple of 60-yard runs and he's just sitting there at 17 carries and 64 yards and he doesn't have a touchdown. It's like you can kind of maybe get swindled there. So I would just say my one thought here is for people not to get overextended on Rico this week, in your DFS lineup. That's kind of one of my big thoughts here. And then on the defense, on the other side where you brought up the wide receivers for Dallas. We've always expected this defensive core for Carolina to take a step forward in the J.C. Horn conversation. But as far as Dallas goes, like Pickens is the guy with no CeeDee Lamb. Did CeeDee get any? Saw he was like going to be limited and potentially
not overextending. Like, you're not saying not to play him in cash.
No. I'm just saying not to get overextended when you're, you can play him in cash.
Yeah, I think you should. I think that's the right thing to do.
So I thought Lamb was going to get a limited in. He didn't. He's double DNP, so he's out.
Yeah, he's not playing.
I thought there was whispers that he had a chance of getting back this week. All right, so there's no worry there.
There was whispers early in the week, but as the week's gone on, it's felt like
Yeah. I'm not following the Flournoy thing, though. I'm not going to tag along the Flournoy thing. Last week we dealt with the Sauce Gardner situation with the Jets. There's no Sauce Gardner playing in this game. There's a J.C. Horn who's really good, but I don't think it's going to be a Sauce Gardner type thing where it's all going to go to Flournoy. I do think Ferguson, like you said, the Ferguson number, what's it at, 46.5 this week in the prop?
We got it at 44.5 for our people whenever we put it up.
Love that. Love that. Again, 9 more targets. Like he's been the beneficiary to me more than anybody with the CeeDee Lamb thing out. So love me some more Jake Ferguson this week as well.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention, I'm not sure. Do you know whether there's anything on Trevor Etienne receiving?
Oh, I mean, receiving yards? I feel like it's probably.
Or,
did we get that last week at 4.5? Yeah, I feel like it's probably 4.5.
It popped up last week on. That's one of those ones that pops up on Sunday mornings, and I might add that onto the sheet again. If they give it to us at Trevor Etienne over like 3.5 receiving yards again, like we need to take that.
Trevor Etienne receiving yards, 14. That's Travis. Can't read. Trevor was right next to Travis.
Yeah. We need to take that one again. So we'll keep an eye on that one Sunday morning. All right. One final game that I wanted to kind of talk with you about here before we get out, and that's the Chargers and the Dolphins, and mainly just about the Chargers running backs. What are you going to do with them? Are you worried that they're going to call Nyheim Himes up off of the practice squad? And if you have Hassan Haskins or Kamani Vidal on your roster, you picked them up off of waivers this week. Let's say you have, I don't know, if you were – who's on bye besides Houston? Minnesota. So if you – let's say you had Mason or something like that and your only other choices are, you know, kind of dusty players like Pacheco or something like that, could you play Kamani Vidal or Hassan Haskins this week?
No. I'm not playing any of these. I'm staying completely away from the Haskins, the Vidal. I mean, if you want to sprinkle into anything, I think it's probably Haskins with the theory of the goal line theory. But as far as the overall usage in this backfield, I think it's going to be putrid. And they've told us before, like even when the initial thought of the season was, hey, you know, there's not going to be a lead back here. It's going to be Najee and Omarion. Well, obviously that hasn't went to plan. This is going to be whoever's active, whether they bring up Hines or not, like it's going to be a complete split in every facet of the game. I think they're going to be creative with guys with wide receivers getting carried. Like, I just don't think this is going to be like a Hassan Haskins gets 18 carries or a Kamani Vidal gets 6 targets. I just don't think this is going to be a direction that I want to lean into. So I have both these guys right outside of our back end RB3 range, kind of literally actually right between Kareem Hunt, RJ Harvey, Tyler Allgeier, like these backup type running backs. I do have one more question though before we do get out about the Browns game.
Okay.
So, no Flacco, right? Flacco goes to Cincinnati, who again, that's another interesting thought that that could be a
conversion. Well, something else about the Cincinnati game that we didn't mention is that Ja'Marr Chase was just added to the injury report as questionable because he's sick. Thankfully that happened on a Friday and not on a Saturday. But
so
even with the Saturday sick designations, they usually end up playing, but just something to keep in mind.
That's a good thought. I just want to say, like, we had Flacco play against these Packers 2 weeks ago, and everyone's riding along this whole idea that, like, you know, he could be the first quarterback since like the 40s to beat a team twice in 2 different jerseys in the same season, blah, 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 blah. Remember, Quinshon Judkins had almost 100 yards and a touchdown in that game, and Flacco really wasn't the most effective quarterback.
Was that the game? Was that the one in Europe?
No, that was Cleveland played Minnesota in Europe. But
okay.
The Packers were up 10-0 in this game until late in the fourth, and then the Browns scored 10 points like in the last 2-3 minutes to win that game. I think the Packers are going to kill Cincinnati here. But I think long term, like next week and going forward, once Flacco gets into this thing and the connections get made with him and Higgins and Chase, I do think that I think our seasons are going to be a little bit saved more so than anything with Chase and Higgins, and we're going to get some more fantasy points there. But the question I had and the conversation I wanted to have quick was about Isaiah Bond and Dylan Gabriel in this wide receiver room in Cleveland, because last week, right, We had was it last week? Yeah, last week was the Browns, right?
Last week was the Browns what?
Browns Vikings, when Bond had 7 targets, 2 for 29.
Yeah, that was Vikings Browns.
My brain was telling me that that Cleveland had a bye this week, but I'm like, no, they played Pittsburgh, don't they? So here's my question is, I have Bond ranked rather high. That's our biggest discrepancy in the rankings right now is Bond, period, across everybody, every position.
What do you have him ranked as?
Wide receiver 35. He's got 7 targets again.
I mean, Gabriel liked him for 7 targets. I mean, only Njoku had more targets. He certainly seems to like Njoku more than he likes Harold Fannin Jr.
Yeah, Njoku had that nice touchdown. But my thing here is, like, I just look at the growth for Bond as far as, like, week over week this year. The routes have went 23, 39, 58%, 71%, 86%. His target shares went up 2%, 7%, 13, 19, 21%. And the fantasy points haven't quite gotten there yet, but it's been building and building and building and building. And I just know a guy like this, I just wanted to double check myself, and I had to get this in on the show because, like I said, it's the biggest discrepancy, and I feel good about it. It doesn't feel like either you or Trash Man do. So I wanted to feel like I wanted to see if you guys thought I was over my skates, or if we're somewhere in the middle. If you like Bond, if you're not there, you just think this Cleveland Browns offense stinks. That's probably true too.
Yeah. Judkins sure is good though, isn't he? I mean, what you're saying makes sense. I didn't look at those week over week route participation rates. That's pretty interesting. And then there's also the fact that just Jerry Jeudy's a guy that is just miserable to roster this season. Feels like any time, like, you know, I don't know. I've never been a huge Jerry Jeudy guy, but like, it feels like, you know, people ask you about him. You're like, God, that must be terrible having to constantly make a decision about this dude. Yeah, man. Honestly, I would say, hate to say it, but if I had Jerry Jeudy and Isaiah, maybe I needed to make sure that this is reflected in the rankings. But if I had Jerry Jeudy in a league where you got to start 2 flexes or something like that, I would go to the waiver wire and see if Isaiah Bond's out there, and I would start that guy over Jeudy.
You're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, and your machinery isn't working right. Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.